flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
All right, 205 on DGS. Dave out today, back on Monday. Razor is here.
What's up? It's time for Razor's Edge.
Yo, we call you Andrew. What's your nickname? What are we going to call you? Razor, Wheels, and...
You know, I said Dr. Badass earlier. I kind of like it.
You want to go Dr. Badass?
I'm not calling anybody that.
I've been kicking it around in this room. I'm calling myself it in this room. Kind of narrating.
Did you have, like, your buddies in school or in the band or whatever, did they have a nickname for you?
Loser, idiot, you know, Tubby, you know, those kind of things.
When I met Andrew, everyone just called him by his last name.
Just, yeah, that's a guy. That's definitely a guy
thing.
They
pronounced his last name incorrectly.
Oh.
Yes. I also did not care for that at all.
What, they called you Stolzy?
Yeah, a lot of times people
or
will
Stoltz.
Do that. Yeah.
Like,
oh, I got
no
you.
Extra
I got you.
In
no
there.
T in there.
Because that other one sounds like a hockey thing where you always have the E at the end.
Is that a hockey thing?
Yeah, a lot of it. Like, if your name is Berglund, you're now Bergie.
Oh,
you know,
that's
that
fun.
Kind of thing. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not,
I do that.
It's not just hockey. It's just really common.
I do that. I call you Wheelie.
Yeah, you do. You do. You're like the only one.
It's a good name.
That's fine. No, I don't care. Anybody can call me whatever they want. I don't care. As long as I know you're talking about me. But I brought up the nicknames because it's time for Razor's Edge.
Yes, it is. I have a list here of perfectly common things that people find disgusting. But other people don't think twice about them. I wish Ronj and Amy were here because I feel like they could very much relate to many of these. I can relate to many of these.
Oh.
I want to see if you guys also find these habits gross. So here's the first one. Breathing in someone's breathed air. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I guess.
Yes. When someone like breathes out and then you inhale their like carbon dioxide.
Yes. Or if you're like under the blanket with someone and you're both breathing in the same air in and out.
Okay.
That can be very disturbing for some folks.
Mm. I mean, I get why. It's not very productive because you're not getting enough oxygen, but I don't think it's gross.
I think it's both. I think it's unproductive and a little nasty.
I don't like it. I don't like it one bit.
The worst is when someone...
I don't want to breathe your air.
Oh, man. The other
Amy
day,
would say, that was in your stomach.
Well, you know, it's not good. It's the other day I like breathed in. I was on the train and I definitely breathed in someone's burp.
Stinky breath.
Yeah. And it was like, ugh. Like I just wanted to puke everywhere. It's so disgusting. Okay. The next one. I love this one. It doesn't bother me, but I get why it bothers people. Toddlers with food on their faces. I just want to get a washcloth and clean their face off.
Yeah, wipe your kid's face off.
It's fine.
Wipe your kid's face off, Kevin.
No, I get you, but it's like I can see it's like you want to solve that problem, but it's not gross. They're kids. That's what they do. Food ends up on their face.
Sometimes just the eating habits of toddlers in general. If you pay too close of attention, you're like, I don't think I'm ever going to eat again. You are ruining food with what you are doing. They're smushing it up. It's getting in their hair. It's getting in their fingernails.
You get used to it, and then you get around it. That's what happens.
The next one is flossing. Don't get me wrong. I floss, but when people do it in front of me, I find it disgusting.
Hmm.
I could see that in brushing your teeth, how people might think that is gross.
Those don't bother me so much.
Don't bother me at all.
What if someone's flossing and then a little bit of food
like flies out?
Yeah,
a little shrapnel.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as it doesn't hit me.
All right.
If it hits me, then there's a, you know, it depends on where.
Yeah.
You know, if like it lands on your cheek, like, okay, that's pretty gross.
Yeah.
But if it lands on like your foot, no, who cares? Nobody matters.
What about people wearing their dirty shoes on their couch or bed?
Man, I'm a big time. Absolutely no shoes on furniture.
Yeah, I'm the same
type of guy.
I think it's gross.
I don't do it, but it wouldn't necessarily bother me in certain settings. Like when you have people over, I'm not the person that's like everybody, unless it's like nasty out. Mm-hmm. I don't say, hey, will you please take off your shoes? And then I don't monitor. Like if somebody curls their feet underneath them when they're sitting on the couch, I wouldn't even notice it.
Mm-mm-mm.
I think it's rude to do that in someone else's home.
I like, do too.
To put your shoes up on the couch because it's beating up their furniture, if nothing else. Even if it's not gross, it's like, that's just not good for the cushions, you know?
I would agree that I wouldn't do it, but if you do it to me, I don't really worry about it. There's not a lot of those things that bother me. Pretty tolerant.
What about eating runny eggs?
No, that doesn't bother me.
Not preferable, but again, not really the end of the world.
I'm weird about eggs.
It all
depends on like the circumstance of the egg. I don't know.
Right. Is it mixed with other things or if it's by itself?
Right. Yeah. Who prepared it? What restaurant am I at?
That's true. Like if it's at a higher end place, you have more trust?
Yeah.
Like if you made them and they were like that, you'd be like, ugh. But then you could just throw them back in the pan for a minute. You know, I mean, like you can solve that problem.
Okay, here's a good one. Hair when it's not attached to a body. So hair on soap, hair in the bathroom sink, hair on the floor, in the shower.
It's fine.
I'm not super bothered by hair in general.
What if it gets on the soap? On the bar of soap?
I mean, under what circumstances am I using a bar of someone's soap?
Just saying, like,
where a hair that I don't want would be on it, that I'm like, you know what I mean? That I would be, like, super offended by it, right? Like, if it's in my house or whatever, it's like, well, it's, you know, probably mine.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a thing. That doesn't bother me. Just to put a spin on this, so let's say you got food,
mm-hmm.
and there's a hair somewhere in the food.
Yeah.
You eating the food?
It depends on who prepared it.
Just let's call it a fast food place.
I'm not eating the food. Because I don't know that, you know, if like my mom prepares something for me,
yeah.
and like one of her, not saying this ever happens, but if I found her hair in there, I'd be like, okay, it's my mommy.
You're not
like,
telling on cares? Your mom?
Yeah, I'm like, this is fine. But
I can tell you honestly, it's happened, and you take it, and you pull that little hair out, you put it down on the side, and you just finish the food.
I don't know.
I'm hungry. I'm hungry. I'm eating.
Okay, here's one that bothers me. Sitting in a warm seat someone was just in. I like to let the seat cool down.
Really?
First. Yeah.
That doesn't bother me. Fine. Yeah, I think I'm okay.
I think
with
a lot
one.
Of people actually like it.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
They're like, oh, you kept
yeah.
the seat warm for me. But for
yeah,
me, I'm just like,
so much.
Oh, you were just here.
Your butt was just there.
Yeah. It's like,
yeah, it doesn't.
It's a little intimate for me.
I'm discovering I'm just not bothered by much.
That's what I'm learning too. This segment is a bust.
Yeah, I mean, like, but you grew up the way that I grew up, all right? So it's you got me and first I have a brother that's close enough in age where like we were always around the same time, and then you grow up going to an all guys high school.
Well, yeah, that would probably break you.
And you're playing sports nonstop. Like there just isn't much that you haven't seen, and you're just like, nah, everything's fine.
Yeah,
Everything's fine. It doesn't matter. You've seen the worst of the worst. I can tell you. I may tell you off the air if you want to, but I won't in case you don't. I can't even tell you on the air some of the things that happened in college with my teammates. I can't even say it on the radio.
Would they like disturb me?
Yes.
No, I don't want to.
I mean, it's not in a serial killer like, oh my God, that person is it belongs in prison, but it would be.
And that was our shortstop.
Yes, and I just want to be clear that in none of those cases was I the perpetrator.
Right.
Uh-huh.
But I was the witness many times. And most of the time, the reaction was, that's kind of gross. Like that. Kind of like, there are a couple times, though, where you're like, dude, what is happening? Like we had one, I can't tell the story, but I can tell you one guy on the team was kicked off the team in part because of one of those actions, and it related to grossness.
Yuck.
It wasn't the only offense that this young man had. I say this young man, my guy was my teammate. We were the same age. It wasn't the only offense that he had, but it was the final straw. Yeah, it was bad. It was bad. But yeah, there's, so I guess I'm saying is after being that, like you're being, it's like being in the zoo when you're living in the apartments with, you know, 25 other baseball players and there's 40 of you, four of you to an apartment. You're not much is going to faze you after that.
Makes sense. Whereas I've been very sheltered.
No, you've been normal. It's what we call normal.
Well, I think I've been a little hyper vigilant about avoiding things that I like truly find very gross. I'm just like, I'm just gonna not go to that person's house. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I will just avoid situations.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Here's the last one I'll do. Eating cake after someone has blown out the candles, especially when it's a little kid and you know you're getting a little extra spit.
I've never once thought of that.
I haven't either.
I never thought of it until COVID, and then I was like, "Oh, I think that's going to go away forever." And now everyone's doing it again.
Yeah,
but you know,
I have never once thought of that.
One more thing I want to talk about in Razor's Edge. This is about driving. So Andrew gets a lot of flack on the show because he decides to drive slow in the left lane, which is, you know,
it's not a decision; it's a lifestyle.
Well, people hate it. They really hate that. But I hate when people drive super fast in the far right lane and I'm trying to get to my exit and I'm like, okay, so like, are you good? What's going on here? It's like, zoom, 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 zoom. Get in one of the left lanes if you're going to be in such a hurry. Am I wrong or am I right here? What's going on?
I don't think, I don't think you're wrong. I think it's because of the Andrews.
So it happens.
Like when people are going slow on the left, you got
to
get past them somehow.
Because they're so cool and smart? I don't understand. Because
they're blocking things up, man.
He's managing traffic.
Yeah, I'm an official traffic manager.
Man, the people whizzing around in those exits is really a problem, though. It's scary.
I know. I get scared, too.
Yes, and people should be smarter and not do the crazy stuff. And I think people should also be smarter and not block up the fast lanes where those fast people would be if they could be.
Man, I drove in some of the
worst.
Not
that I'm looking at you, Andrew.
Did anybody drive last night? Like after like
no,
8, 9 o'clock?
Susan did. She said the fog was insane.
That is the worst fog I have ever driven through. It was unbelievable. I could not see. There was stretches of time if there's no like, you know, buildings or lights around going down like Route 3 or whatever. You just could not see anything around you. And it was also raining. So, like, raining plus all that fog, I mean, it was kind of treacherous. And I ended up being very resentful. What made me think of it is all the people that were whizzing around in every direction, driving way, way too fast. Like, don't drive that fast in the fog.
No, in the fog, it's a terrible idea.
You can't see anything.
Fog, snow, honestly, even, like, real rain. You know, like, constant rain
yeah,
where
like
it's
storm
where it's
rain.
Slick.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense. And that's why you see, like, in these highway pileups, whether it's snow and ice or it's fog or whatever, and in the worst case, it's a combination of the two.
Yeah.
Because you can't see until it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do that. Yeah, I'm free. I like a drink and a dance all night. Comes to a all right, I got a complaint. I want to air it out with the two of you and hopefully people listening either share that complaint or we'll eventually agree. Can I just say, I just want to call BS on the doomsday clock.
Oh, me too.
I mean, I get it. Look, if you're not aware of it, I know most people are. They're aware, like, it's a group of scientists that's like, we are now 89 seconds away from the midnight, and midnight signals the end of the world, right? Mm-hmm. The end of civilization. We're only 89 seconds away. And I understand that it's a group of scientists originally founded by people that worked on the Manhattan Project. I'm not questioning their credentials. I'm not questioning their intent. I'm just saying this isn't scientific. There's too many things that are going into it that are not in the realm of science. It's mostly politics. It's mostly human behavior. It's not. I mean, like, you know, I know that people when it was the nuclear bomb that everybody was worried about. And to a degree, it's still there, right? That's always a concern. It's that there's a science-based fear. I'm sure some of this is AI and it's wars and it's politics. But it's because it's all human behavior that I find the doomsday clock to be stupid. Like, what does it mean, 89 seconds until midnight? How are you getting to that? Like, is there a better way to do this than trying to make it seem like we're just seconds away from the end of humankind?
And they just They just make it up. It's just like a thing they made up. And then they all, you know, they all just stand like goofballs around their stupid fake clock, and everybody takes everybody takes pictures of them looking very dark and sad, and it's like, you guys just made this up.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, I had put on the sheet too, like, is this just like a bunch of nerds just I mean, that's what it seems like. Like Andrew said, when they're standing around the clock, it's like, what's going on here? You guys just want attention.
Yeah, you guys just made this up, and then you go, hey, just so everybody knows, no one's talked about us in a couple of years, so we're going to make it so that now we are. And the other thing is that they really messed this up in the Cold War when they put it at like 15 minutes to midnight, because now they have nowhere to go. Now they have to move it like we are one millisecond further.
When they just moved it, it went from 90 seconds to 89 seconds.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But each second so far has taken about 40 years. So it's like, I think we're fine.
And again, I'm not saying, like, if this is just an exercise in trying to get attention to say, hey, you guys, we should probably be paying attention to these problems. I understand it. But I think you actually accomplish the opposite. Because people have tuned it out. When you're saying doomsday clock and we're 90 seconds from the end of the world, people are just like, yeah, brother, whatever. Do I still have to go to work tomorrow? Well, right. Then I don't want to hear it.
This is what their website says. It is now 89 seconds to midnight. In setting the clock 1 second closer to midnight, the Science and Security Board sends a stark signal. Because the world is already perilously close to the precipice, a move of even a single second should be taken as an indication of extreme danger and an unmistakable warning that every second of delay in reversing course increases the probability of global disaster. What does that mean?
You don't know.
What am I supposed to do? Why are you telling me? What do you want me to do?
Yeah, don't tell me about it. Don't make a stupid clock and make me look at it. Go tell somebody who can do something. Tell
Get
somebody
the clock
who cares.
Out of my face, okay?
Yeah, go tell somebody who cares, jerk.
Yeah, I mean, look, this group, the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists, it was founded by Albert Einstein and Robert Oppenheimer,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Right. So
Nerdetin of atomic nerds.
Yes, yes. And again, I'm not questioning their intent. I'm not questioning their intelligence. The radio guy questions atomic scientists.
Bro, they're stupid.
You guys are dumb. I'm questioning their intelligence. They don't know.
No, I'm questioning the methodology. Like, this is not an effective way to communicate the ideas that you're trying to communicate. Because as Rach points out, none of us can do a damn thing about it in the moment. You could make
Vladimir Putin. Don't tell it to me.
Right. Go explain it to Xi Jinping, and then what's his name in North Korea? Kim Jong-un. Go explain it to our political leaders.
Yeah.
You know, go explain it to Congress, to, you know, everybody at the state level. I get it. This is trying to reach them, but it becomes the boy crying wolf, and it becomes a joke because it's not an effective way to get people to take it seriously. And you know how I know that? Because nobody takes it seriously.
Yeah.
Like, I'm speaking to something that I actually do know, which is communication. How to convey ideas, how to win people over to an idea, how to convince them of something, how to phrase things. These are the things that I've been doing for 30 years. So, no, I'm not questioning the intelligence of these people. They're brilliant people. They have a good idea. Like, the idea is to try to warn human beings, because we do need to be warned. We need to be protected from ourselves. We're impulsive. We can be stupid. We can be egotistical. We can be hard-headed, which is what we're talking about with all of these things, whether it's the threat of a nuclear war or climate changes or political changes or famine, whatever it is. We're obviously a ridiculous species. We do things that are not in our best interest, and we do it all the time. So the idea of warning us is not a terrible idea, but doing it in this way is just making people tune it out, because everybody's like, whatever, bro. Whatever, bro. What doesn't mean anything to me when you go from 90 seconds to 89 seconds. You need to be lobbying the people, and maybe they are, but this right here, that's not changing anybody's mind. But you got that right. A great day.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
It's 2:33. I was going to say 2:30, but I want to be precise. It's going to be 2:34 in 10 seconds. So there you go.
How many seconds to midnight?
89 seconds, according to the Atomic... Was it? Did you say Rage? The Atomic
Bulletin
Nerds?
Of losers. I don't know what they call them.
No. They're not losers, and they're not nerds. Yes, we're just being smart asses. All right, it's DGS. Dave will be back on Monday. We've got Brad Young coming up top of the hour. We are going to check in. I mentioned it already because I was trying to describe what happened at the Board of Aldermen meeting today by following Sean Malone's tweets, and I'm just going to have Sean pop in studio. It'd be a lot easier that way. So he'll join us a little later. Brad Young's going to join us. We got Bernie Miklas at 4 o'clock, so we're going to be really busy. For Stairway today, it's a minor rant, but it's also I want to get your guys' take on a few things related to this. Because we've all talked about, joked about, wondered about the drones thing, right? The drones is mostly around the East Coast, mostly Jersey, but it's been up and down the East Coast for months. And just this week, the White House said, oh, yeah, the drones, those were authorized by the FAA. Everybody knew about it all along. Nothing to see here. And I have two thoughts on this. Okay, one, if that's true, then all of them need to kiss my ass. Why didn't you just say that at the beginning? If they knew what it was, if they knew what was going on, if all of the things that were happening were it was just testing being done and the FAA approved of it, then you should have just said that and the story ends and nobody's staring up at the sky and nobody's worrying about something that they don't need to be worried about. And nobody's tracking it and sending up their own drones and causing all kinds of other trouble. And if that's not true, then I hate you for another cover-up. Because it sounds like if you were going to come up with the weakest cover story ever, that's the weakest cover story ever. So it better be true.
Yeah.
Because if it's not true, it's like, oh, yeah, we knew all along. It's not the enemy. It's not aliens. And again, I don't know what it is. I never expected to know. I don't have a theory because I'm not qualified to have a theory. I haven't seen them. I haven't examined it. I'm not an expert. I don't know. But what we do know is that there were all kinds of things being seen in the sky in New Jersey and other places out east, as far south, I think, as like Virginia and the Carolinas, that nobody had a really good explanation for. They didn't look like the drones used by hobbyists. They were sometimes near sensitive places. And we had politicians, both state and federal level, openly saying this is a problem. We're worried about this. Nobody's giving us answers. And now, all of a sudden, we just get, oh, yeah, the FAA knew about that. It's fine. It's not the enemy. We're all good. What are we doing? What are we doing? This can't be that hard unless, and this, by the way, this is what my root bring it all together part of this. This is what makes people doubt official stories.
Yeah.
This kind of behavior is why people doubt everything that they hear.
It's true.
Does this strike you in any way other than the way I just described it? Like, if you knew, I hate you for just pretending you didn't and letting everything be as crazy as it was. And if it isn't true, what a lame cover story. Oh, yeah, we knew about it. It's fine. It's not the enemy.
So it's not the mothership?
It's not. Well, they didn't say that.
Okay.
When they say not the enemy, I think they mean just Russia or China.
Okay.
Or North Korea or whatever, whoever would be our terrestrial enemies.
I was told it was the mothership.
Right. Or yes, that, and we've been getting, you know, there's been, if you follow it, cuz I'm a nerd and I do, but people have been on the disclosure kick for a long time when it comes to UAPs/UFOs and alien life forms, and there have been hearings in Congress and a lot of people doing interviews talking about, yep, this is real, it's for sure a thing. Not one person has been able to produce anything that says, that shows you, yep, definitively, oh, look at that, there's ET. It's always grainy, cloudy, hard to see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's never clear. And I understand. I'm not a doubter, except but I'm a skeptic. And I'm like, I want evidence before I'm going to buy a story. I'll listen to your story. I'll take in the story. But I need, like, something real. I literally need, like, the aliens on the front lawn of the White House.
Yeah.
Like, that kind of thing. I need to see that before I'm going to buy it. But this stuff right here, you know, a story that people are seeing things. Experts were seeing things. Pilots were seeing things. People that are in politics at the state and federal level were saying, we need an investigation into this. There's hearings on it. And now the explanation is just, yeah, we knew. And don't worry, nothing to see here. That's sus, man. Sorry, I just went all Gen Z.
Sus.
That's why people don't trust you.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's why people don't trust any official story. Because if that's the official story, you have to explain to us why you let it linger like that. And don't just do, well, it was the previous administration. Because this is not about who was president at the moment, because this happened at a White House press briefing. I'm forgetting her name, the new White House spokesperson, Leavitt.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah.
She's the one that said it.
Caroline Leavitt.
It has nothing to do with her, has nothing to do with whether it's Trump or Biden or whatever. It's just that this is the kind of stuff that makes people not trust, quote unquote, the official story.
Mm-hmm.
Because if this was it all along, then yeah, shame on the Biden White House for not just saying that. Or shame on the FAA for someone not just saying, hey guys, we know about this. It's fine. It's, you know, we approved this. It's just, they're just testing some stuff. But that's it. That's the explanation.
Once again, it's like, hey, you guys don't worry about it. We know what's going on, but you'll be fine. We'll let you know when the time is right after you panic and everything.
And again, I didn't think there was too much. I don't know that people were, like, you know, stocking up on dry goods because the apocalypse were coming. But it's more to the point that when something is happening that everybody can see, the response to that is not to tell everybody there's nothing to see. Like, we're like, you realize we have video of these things. We have people that are really smart people in their field who do analyze, who work with drones, who fly, you know, fighter jets and fly airliners, and they're seeing these things and they're saying they don't look like the things that we normally see, and they're not supposed to be there, but they're there, and why are they there? If the answer is simple, just give us the simple answer. And give us the simple answer from the beginning. But this is, again, I'm not the tinfoil hat guy, but this makes me reach for the Reynolds wrap. Like, this makes me reach for the tin foil so I can fashion a hat, because I'm like, well, this explanation after all this time is clearly a cover, right? Like, that's your first instinct when you see that.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes you, it doesn't make me think it's aliens. It just makes me think that there's something that people who are doing the messaging would rather not talk about. Whether it's a military contract that's supposed to be secret, or it is the enemy and we just don't want to acknowledge that, or maybe it's ET. Like, and whatever it is doesn't matter. I mean, I guess it does in the end. But, like, it doesn't, for the purpose of this argument, whatever it is doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be the big end of the world story. It's just that if this is the truth, if the truth is what we just got from the White House here, then shame on the previous White House and shame on everybody involved for not just saying that from day one, because this would have ended.
Well, yeah, because people were talking about, like, I'm going to shoot down a drone if it comes over my house. And it's like, well, if it's just a hobbyist or something, I mean, maybe that makes you want to shoot it down more. I'm not sure.
Yeah, don't fly in my backyard.
But, I mean, things could have gotten really hairy there for a while. More information is always better when it comes to things like this.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of the idea that someone, again, I say someone, I don't mean the mysterious they, you know, the capital T they. I don't mean anything nefarious, but what if it is someone that's like, hey, let's just see what people do if we do this.
I think that happens.
Like, what do you think people would do if we did this?
Well, maybe it doesn't happen like that, but I think there is very much a, like, they'll be freaking out, but it'll be okay. Like, I mean, COVID's a great example when originally people came out and said, no, you don't need to wear a mask. In fact, you shouldn't buy a mask because we need these masks for healthcare providers. And then 3 weeks later, it was like, yeah, you got to get that mask on your face.
Yeah.
I'm not an anti-masker. I'm not saying, and that's proof why we shouldn't have worn masks. I'm saying they anticipated us panicking, so they lied to us.
It's actually an example of what we're talking about right here.
Yeah.
Is they're treating us like children.
Right.
And do we deserve it?
Sometimes.
Because I think that they're, because you know what would have happened initially with COVID, for example, if they had said, hey, you know what, you guys, you should probably get masks. There would have been a run on masks.
Well, look at the toilet paper.
Right,
you know?
Exactly right. This is kind of the point. I don't mean any particular group of people. I just mean people that are studying our behaviors, know what we do.
Mm-hmm.
We're predictable. Which is why if the explanation is this that we just got this week for the drone thing, then you should have given us that. Because you know that if you don't give us that, it's going to become what it does or what it did. It's going to be the UFO experts on TV going, yeah, I think this might be from outer space. Like, you know what people are going to do. They're going to run with it. They're going to do their own exploration. They're going to shoot things down. They're going to panic about it. And they're going to call their governor's office, their representative's office, and those people are going to have to go to hearings, and they're going to get mad because they're not going to get any answers. You just have to be on this kind of a thing, assuming that this new official story is the real deal. That had to be done right away.
Mm-hmm.
It would have avoided everything else. And that's why we don't have trust, because, like, all right, are you winding us up on purpose? Are you just stupid? Did you not know that? And if you didn't know that, how would you not just call the FAA and be like, hey, yeah, what's up with this? Oh, okay, cool. You know, let's let everybody know. I swear they ran it. All right, DGS on a Friday. We've got Brad Young joining us after the top of the hour. We get his thoughts on a couple of different things. Some thoughts on the Board of Aldermen meeting today in St. Louis, some other legal stories with Brad Young coming up in a few minutes. We have Bernie Miklas a little bit later on. We'll get the weather with Dave Murray at 3:30 in his normal spot. Bernie will be at 4 o'clock. So obviously busy between now and the end of the week, which for us is 5 o'clock. End of the week, 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good. Yeah, it's always nice to have the end of the day, but the end of the week's even better.
Oh, yeah.
Rach, this is also Groundhog Day weekend. Are we celebrating?
I mean, I don't celebrate, but I did get together a little article for you guys. Let me find it here.
What do we got?
We've got some facts about Groundhog Day in case you want to learn a little more.
Sure, why not? Mm-hmm. The holiday that I probably hate more than any other.
Well, you need to watch Groundhog Day, the film.
Why would you hate this holiday?
Because it's so stupid.
It's fun. It's got a groundhog, a little ground piggy.
Hey, they're great. God love him, but all we're doing is scaring the crap out of that little guy every year.
Yeah, maybe he deserves it.
Well, you just got done saying he's a cute little guy, and now you want to scare him?
He can be cute and still deserve to suffer. Look at me.
That's way too deep for a four-minute segment.
I'm not touching that one. Okay, so we know Punxsutawney Phil. It's his big weekend, you know. What's going to happen if you visit Punxsutawney, though? Like, people make the trek over there to see Phil, and I think a lot of it is because of the film too with Bill Murray in the 80s, right? What was, like, the late 80s?
Yeah, I would say that was 80s.
So this is in Western Pennsylvania. The Groundhog Day tradition started way back in 1886. So
I bet it was pretty cool back then.
Yeah, back then they probably really believed that he needed to see his shadow. Like, that was science back then.
I really wonder if, like, were they the first ones that were like, hey, you know, this little critter runs out. Last year he came out and he ran back in and saw. How do we know he saw a shadow, by the way? How did they figure that out?
That's a good question. I guess they ask him later.
Yeah, they were just this little freak's got problems.
Phil, what did you see? Describe the details to us.
The little town of Punxsutawney is located about an hour and a half northeast of Pittsburgh. And the grounds at Gobbler's Knob, I swear that's the name of it.
Oh boy.
Where the main event is held free of charge, open at 3 a.m. So you get there super early in order to be there for sunrise whenever Phil gives his prognosis. It's expected to be about 7:24 a.m. this year.
How do they know that?
When the sun is going to rise?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I thought that's like when he'd come out. I'm like, how do they know? Do they just like push him out? Like, here you go, buddy. Time to go.
I don't know if groundhog. I should have done more research on this because I don't know if every groundhog is like, all right, the sun is rising. It's time to come out. Like, does this happen every day?
We need to get deeper into groundhog lore.
Do they like push him out and go like, Phil, get out there. You're on stage. Come on. The town estimated about 35,000 to 40,000 tourists last year in town for the festivities. But they also have a groundhog ball, they have a banquet, and they have a lunch with Phil.
Ooh.
Well, they're already sold out, so, you know, if you're about to pack up the car and head to Pennsylvania, sorry.
I want
to
have a lunch with Phil.
Yeah, I wonder if that's like a mascot situation rather than the actual groundhog sitting at the table with a fork and knife.
So mad. If they put me with a stupid mascot.
You would be excited about the mascot. You'd be like, Phil,
I'd
let me take my picture with
you. I'd be excited about the mascot, but I would be mad in, like, if it's, I'll pay for the mascot, don't get me wrong. But if you tell me that I get to have lunch with Phil, I'm expecting a seat at the table with a groundhog in it.
What's the weather going to be like for Groundhog Day 2025? Well, you know, Dave Murray is here to tell us the local forecast.
Right.
The National Weather Service predicts a high of 42 degrees on Sunday for the party people of Punxsutawney. It's expected to be cloudy with a slight chance of snow after 1 p.m. That could mix with rain after 4, so watch out, people.
So if it's cloudy, how does he see his shadow?
I think we're in for some bad news at that point, Wheels.
Wait, that's the bad news?
If he doesn't see his shadow, how does it work?
If he sees...
Hold on. I'm not leaving it up to Andy. Sorry, no offense.
We're all grown people, then we're like, I don't know. This thing that we've all talked about our whole lives, I don't remember. I don't. You know what? Because I dismiss it. I think it's the dumbest thing. I think it's as dumb as pardoning a turkey on Thanksgiving.
Okay, if he sees his shadow, winter will last another 6 more weeks, and he returns to his den. If he does not see his shadow, it means an early spring.
Let's go.
If it's going to be cloudy, then we're going to have an early spring. Then we don't need to do this whole thing, right?
Right. Wow, what a disaster of a segment.
I actually enjoy it.
I was like, we don't do bad segments here on the DJ.
We should do.
I've had a couple of real stinkers today.
We should do more of these dumb things that we do for no reason as a segment. like, why do we pardon a turkey at Thanksgiving? It's the dumbest thing in the world.
If you want to watch...
We're going to kill thousands, but this one guy, he's free.
We're killing thousands.
I mean...
They're massacring.
Don't get me wrong. I'm going to be killing some turkey on Thanksgiving, too. But, like, I don't know. Just because we did something 150 years ago doesn't mean it's like, yeah, you know what? Let's keep doing that.
Now, I know you're probably listening thinking, man, they're making this sound so good. I'm so engaged. I'm so informed.
I want to go to Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania.
I want to be able to see a live stream of the event. Well, you can see Phil at the Visit PA website starting at 6 a.m. on Sunday. Post-gazette.com also will have the live stream.
Man.
I will be seated.
You will be seated.
I will be seated.
Yeah.
I'm sad.
Man. Yeah. No chance. None.
I want to make Wheeler get up.
What other animal can we say? What other animal behavior can we try to guess at weather events on? Mm. Yeah, if the penguin slides down the ice, it's going to be a long summer.
Love it. I'm sold.